Weekend Breakfast on 702.
For the curious.
Khosi Giane joining us on the line now, clinical psychologist. Good morning and happy Sunday.
Good morning, Nicholas. A happy Sunday indeed to you too on this sunny winter morning.
Yeah, I mean, sunny is not exactly the word I would use to describe this crisp morning. But yeah, the sun is shining. There's things
to be... The sun is out, yeah. The wind is something else.
You need to look for at least the positives wherever you find them. I'll talk about the importance of a positive mindset before we say goodbye, but we are talking about setting up healthy boundaries. Important part of not only establishing one's own identity and protecting it, but also setting up meaningful and long-lasting relationships.
Indeed, absolutely. So what are we talking about in the biggest scheme of things when we talk about boundaries? So we're talking about the establishment of the threshold of demarcation. You know, it's about articulating a dance of distinction, some distinction between things. You know, so and there's many forms of boundaries that we can talk about on, and levels thereof. So we can talk about, you know, beginnings and endings, possibilities and limitations. That's what boundaries speak to. You know, it speaks to what is opaque, what is closed off, and what is permeable. What is public, what is private. And as I say this, I'm thinking about, you know, the impact of social media on the boundary between what becomes a public life and what becomes a private life. And what comes to mind for me here is the recent, Jada and Will Smith thing where they decided to have what, by all intents and purposes, would generally ordinarily be deemed as a private conversation between a couple, and it became a public issue that everyone has had access to, you know. It talks to you and yours and, you know, me and mine, you know, and then we talk about community of property and so on in relationships. So essentially that's where we are.
How do you go about doing so, right? It's good enough to try and define them, but when do you say, okay, this is a certain set of rules and principles that I live my life to, and this is how I expect to relate to other people in the world. How do you do that, though? Yeah. Because I'm in charge of my own thoughts. I'm in charge of my own actions, but I'm not always in charge of, I'm never in charge of what other people do.
Indeed. So, you know, I think you mentioned earlier on, so if we talk about, in fact, why do we set boundaries and why is it important to set boundaries? Because boundaries, you know, talk about limits of fluidity. And the overarching purpose of boundaries is to create and maintain physical, emotional, psychological safety. Right? As you say, as a person, this is my life, this is what I want. Right, but the tension then comes from the individual self and the relational or social self. So, in other words, me as Khosi, but who is Khosi when Khosi is in a relationship with so and so, and that's where the rub starts to happen. So, ideally, we want to be able to have boundaries, and there are boundaries that are generally commonly understood in a sense, right? But they are always fluid in that as you. Everybody has their own interpretation, their own perspective of what a boundary is or what they deem an important issue for them that they set a boundary on. So ideally, we want to be able to set boundaries proactively. In other words, preventively. So as we go into, and we can talk about how these play out in different relationships. So at an intimate relationship, level at a family relationship, because those are also equally so important. And when we don't set those boundaries, things can go horribly wrong.
So talk about this going horribly wrong, right? Because when I talk, when I think about boundaries, right, and people not respecting your boundaries, and essentially you as an individual allowing people to disrespect your boundaries, in essence, become a bit of a doormat. People will walk all over you. I think it's an inherent human characteristic for us to really push the boundaries of what we're entitled to the limit.
Yeah, you see, again, the word entitled becomes an interesting one, because we all come into, if we talk about intimate relationships, we are already written into by life. You know, so therefore, I expect that when I am in relationship with you, we need to be sharing this, that, and the other. Whereas for another person, no, that belongs in private space. That is not collective space sort of thing. You know, and that's why I'm saying ideally we want to talk about these things proactively, preventatively, before things go horribly wrong. But unfortunately, many a time, we learn about boundaries when we literally put our foot in it, or when someone puts their foot on our boundary, you know, and then we do them reactively in that sense. But either way, there is no way that we can predict all boundaries, you know, and be able to discuss them preventatively. So what is then important is that is to be open about the not just the possibility, the invariability of us stepping onto each other's boundaries. That's bound to happen. So let's expect that it will happen. And so the question then becomes, what is our most important resource to deal with this? And it is to talk things out.
Communication is the name of the game, as they say,
it
right?
It is the name of the game. Because, Nicholas, if we don't talk things out, invariably we are going to act them out.
So hear me out on this one, though, Josie. I mean, communication with other people is one thing, but what about the communication with yourself? Because I feel if you do not know thyself, you really are always going to struggle in your interactions with each other. You know, with other people.
Yes. The first and most important boundaries are the ones we need to set within ourselves. Because, you know, what that means is about knowing the self. Who am I? Because if I don't know who I am and I'm not here. And even to recognize, though, that even the self evolves. In other words, who I was when I was 25. Is different. Although I am the same person, so there is that dance between continuity and change. We evolve as people. As they say, you can never step into the same river twice. We evolve as people. So what that means in terms of boundaries is that what may have been okay and comfortable with me at 25 may not be anymore at the age that I am now, because I have evolved in different ways and things have different values for me.
How do you do that? Have a healthy relationship with oneself and try and navigate the ways in which we relate to our own intellect, our own needs, our own wants. Because there's this misconception that only crazy people talk to themselves. But the best way to find out how you will relate to other people is to find out how you relate to yourself. So break it down for us. Practical tips on what we should do.
That's a misconception, first of all. And the question becomes, how can you be able to communicate effectively with another if you don't communicate with yourself effectively? So the breakdown of it, Nicholas, is there's nothing more present or more important than your presence in your own presence, right? So in other words, We need to stay close to our own self. We need to take that time to commune with ourselves and ask the question and ask it over and over. So who are you? Who are you? What matters to you? And why? What value do you attach to this, to that, to the other? What happens when that collides with another? How are you going to negotiate that? Where do you drop the anchor? How much are you willing to accommodate? What is your line of flexibility? And we need to know that. And I'm going to say this as much as, yes, very much so, it's important to talk to ourselves. The most important way we also find out about ourselves is what happens to us in the presence of other people. So that in itself is a lesson in the self. That encounter with people is one of the best ways we find out about ourselves. Because people will enter the space called the self. And that landscape will begin to speak for itself in the sense of we will experience our own sense of comfort and discomfort. And that is a hint that says to you, go inward and ask yourself, what have I just told myself about myself in this situation? What have I just told myself about this person? Or what have I told this person about me in this instance?
Jose, you're talking about an amazing self-awareness. And if you've just joined us, you're on Weekend Breakfast. Niklas Bauer chatting to clinical psychologist Jose Gianni. And we're chatting about, self-awareness now, but we started the conversation talking about setting up boundaries. I want to delve a little bit more into the idea of self-awareness and how that can assist us in setting up positive boundaries with not only our significant others, our friends and our family, but also in business and the workplace as well. But quick one from Chad in Joburg South. To have a good relationship with oneself is to be happy while it's free and while one is alive. Life is too short for anything else. And then we've got Anonymous says, if you don't set up personal boundaries, you set yourself up for future mistreatment. True assertiveness is about asking for what you want without hurting others. Learn how to pick your battles. Boosting yourself up doesn't mean putting other people down. So let's talk about this self-awareness. You know yourself.
Yeah.
And you build a confidence within yourself. I like to think that that's something I've personally worked on for many a year. But how do you do it without, for lack of a better word, coming across like a dick?
Okay. So first of all, it is about recognizing that you belong to a community of people. And it is about how do I then, once I've become aware of myself, how do I express the self and how do I present that self? How do I place that self in a social context? And when that boundary has in some way been stepped on and there's a sense of discomfort about it, and ideally, you want to talk about these things earlier than later. So in other words, you want to say, I noticed this. I heard you say this. I saw you do this, which is very concrete. So a person understands where you are coming from. What is the source of the thing that you're going to express, right? Something, an event has happened. Something has transpired between us. So you want to cite that as the source of this. And once you have explained the concrete detail, it is what is its effect on you? What is its impact? It makes me think this way. It gives me the impression that, and that makes me feel disrespected. And my request is that we renegotiate this.
And you can do that without getting violent or aggressive about it, right? I mean, I think that there's a certain peace and there's a certain control in just quite literally expressing your needs, your wants, your boundaries.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily need to be an aggressive conversation. But and the sooner we can deal with issues, the better we can prevent it having to escalate to a point where you have to express it in those terms. And part of that is to foreground the conversation by saying, I know it may seem like a small thing, but I actually would rather we talk about it before it becomes a big thing. And then it will then escalate tensions between us. So to prevent that, let's talk about it sooner while it's at its infancy rather than later.
Here's a curveball, right? What about in the work environment? And not only with a colleague that you work with, but possibly a superior, because that is an extremely difficult relationship to try and navigate in terms of boundaries, especially in an age when we're working from home. Even before the advent of COVID-19, I know many bosses that find absolutely nothing wrong with calling you at 8, 9, 10 p.m. in the evening, at home, during the week, on the weekend, because, well, I need to speak to you.
Yeah. So again, Nicholas, the principle remains the same. The detail will change from conversation to conversation, situation to situation. The principle remains the same. First of all, when that happens, you then want to, again, articulate the incident. You called me on a Sunday. Oh, okay, let's backtrack. You realize that this is not sitting well with you. You then ask to have a conversation. And again, ideally, what we also want to validate is that this is, and I'm literally saying in the conversation to express this, that this is a very difficult issue to talk about, because I know there is there are demands sometimes that go beyond, or issues that don't keep office hours. However, just the other day, or yesterday, you called me. It was a Sunday. It was 9 p.m. The issue that you wanted to discuss was this. I perhaps, from my point of view, find it difficult to see why it needed to be discussed at this time. And the impact of it is that I was busy perhaps with homework or whatever. It was my personal time. It's a time that I consider a time that is not work time. And therefore, my wish is that we have a different arrangement around, you know, deciding what things can wait and not wait. And I know this is not an easy conversation to have, but there is no other way through. The only way out of it is through having the conversation. Because what happens if you don't have the conversation? First of all, what you permit, you concede to. You know, what you allow, you permit. Silence is consent.
Of course, right? I'll tell you the difficulty in this, though, right? Because a lot of people now would find themselves not in a position to have these difficult conversations with their boss because they're trying to keep their job. We're in an economic downturn in the midst of a recession even before Corona. It's going to be a jobs bloodbath in the months and the weeks to come.
Sure.
So like a knee-jerk reaction from my side would definitely be like, just shut up and keep your job at all measures.
Career limiting. Absolutely. So we need to choose our battles, particularly in context of, is this worth jeopardizing something bigger? So those are all the calculations that you need to make. How important, how high are the stakes in this issue? And is it something that is really a make or break? Is it reasonable of you, given the current circumstances, to want to hold so firmly to a boundary that says private and work time and so on? Is it, and assess the issue for its significance and its urgency to be attended to right now as opposed to another time. And, you know, to every choice there's a consequence. So we need to think about that too. What is the potential consequence? And therefore, for me, what is the cost benefit? Is it worth me going there or not?
Khosi, it's been an illuminating conversation. I've hopefully learned a little bit about myself, and we look forward to the next time we talk about psychology on a Sunday morning. Is there anything online that we can use in terms of tools to try and begin to set healthy boundaries, not only with ourselves, but with others? We'll, of course, podcast this conversation, but anything that we can fall back on online?
Look, I think, I mean, if you Google, you know, there's a whole world in the palm of our hands. I'm sure that, you know, there's plenty of, if you Google vital smarts, crucial conversations, how to talk about these things in a manner that gets you, leverages you getting the desired outcome while also maintaining a healthy relationship. Crucial conversation.
Khosi Giyane, thank you very much for your time on Weekend Breakfast, talking about setting up healthy boundaries for more fulfilling relationships.